The past couple of weeks, I've had quite a range of emotions, from anger to frustration, sadness, back to anger, watching as a new scandal of priestly abuse explodes across the newspapers and in the media. It's discouraging, not just because it happened in such a prominent place as Pennsylvania, but because for the last 20 years, every diocese has worked throughout the United States detailed procedures to help protect children and teenagers. And even though specific crimes happened many years ago, dating back all the way to the 1940s, still, if one can believe the news reports, the cases were handled terribly, tragically so, by bishops and cardinals. And the scandal has unleashed a flood of hatred, not just against the ones responsible, but as I know you have probably experienced in your places of work or maybe at school, this hatred, you know, leveled against you as well. The Catholic Church has faced the tragedy of child abuse by clergy, and the impact is always horrific. I find that priests and people feel embarrassed, humiliated, demoralized, and each new accusation of child abuse and failed leadership that comes to light leaves many of us with feelings perhaps of self-doubt, of sadness, and even anger. Some of you have emailed me your concerns, and some people have called me directly to speak about their hurt and their struggle. I encourage you to reach out, and if you feel so called, to speak with one of our staff members or Deacon Peter, Father Daniel, or myself, to please do so. Because I think holding in the anger or the frustrations, or maybe you just have questions if you'd like answered, but holding that stuff in that's not healthy leads to nowhere good. Who could ever imagine that the priesthood would be such a subject of division, of ridicule, and of doubt? Today, more than ever, the weight of the cross presses down on the shoulders of good priests and good bishops, a cross that comes as a result of bad priests and bad bishops. There's a psalm, Psalm 79, and I'll pray for you now. It says, "We have become the scorn of our neighbors and the laughingstock of those around us." And I find that to be very true in my personal life, the laughingstock, the scorn of others. I was in the grocery store not so long ago in the checkout line, in my clerics, looking very much like a priest. And in the line there was a woman with a small child. She actually pulled her child away from me. She gave me an ugly look. Another person asked me how I could work. They called me and asked me how I could work for such a corrupt church. These are difficult to take. I know many of you have loved the church. Many of you pray for the church, and many of you have told me that you pray for me, and you want the best for the church. And I ask that you pray for all Catholics struggling with the faith because of the sinful behavior of priests and bishops and cardinals. And I especially ask you to pray for the victims and their families, those most impacted. I think that abuse of that type can be like murder, but worse, it can murder the soul of the victim. So pray for them, pray for their healing, as I know you will. Priests can do great harm. But in my life, I've experienced priests who have done incredible amounts of good as well. Prayer and fasting can do so much good for all involved in this tragedy at our time. Many of you have mentioned that you do pray for priests, especially our adorers who adore our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament day in and day out, have told me specifically they pray for priests. That's their intention. I'm grateful for all the love and support from my incredible family and from many of you. Sacred Scripture tells us that priests do not fall from heaven, but are taken from among men and made their representatives before God. And that a priest, our Lord says, is able to deal patiently with erring sinners, for he himself is beset by weakness. Yes, many priests have failed, and priests have cooperated with evil. And to those priests and bishops and cardinals, and for all those who have cooperated with evil, Jesus has one word for us: repent. The Lord chose 12 weak, sinful men as his apostles. And through them, our Lord promises never to leave us, to never leave his church. I will remain with you always, says the Lord. And at each and every Mass, when we receive our Lord in Holy Communion, our Lord reminds us that he is with us in his body, in his blood, in his soul, in his divinity. That is what we heard in today's gospel. Jesus reminds us that he is the living bread come down from heaven. And whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. See, apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, we are nothing. I put my faith in him, in Jesus Christ alone. I don't put my faith in priests or bishops or popes. I put my faith in Christ Jesus, where it cannot be harmed. I encourage you to do the same. As we enable and allow Christ, and we open ourselves up to that reality that Christ wants to be with us, our lives can be changed. But it has to be an intentional act on our part to say, Lord, I want you to be a part of my life. I desire you to be with me, in me. There's a priest by the name of Father Larry Richards. And he prayed a prayer many years ago that I came across recently that really reminds me of what happens when we receive Christ, what can happen, and how we become more Christ-like. And this is his prayer. And I just close with this prayer today for you, with you, because I just find it very consoling and filled with, just giving me a lot of direction and hope. And so he says, Lord, I want people to see you today and not me. So I surrender, Lord, my hands to you, that these hands may be your hands. Lord, work through my hands for your glory. Let them do nothing which is apart from your will. Lord, I surrender my mouth to you, that it may be your words I speak and not my words, that I only speak what you command me to speak, that you, Lord Jesus, may speak through me. Lord, give me your eyes. Let them be your eyes, that I may see your presence in all people and that I may only truly see what you want me to see. Lord, give me your ears so that I may listen and that your ears may become my ears. Lord, I give you my heart that your heart might beat inside of me. And Lord, I give you my breath that it may be your breath that breathes inside of me by the power of your Spirit. Lord, I give you my life that you may live in and through me. Amen. You see, when we go through these and we give every part of our body, our senses, our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our hands to the Lord, we're making a conscious decision, as we do when we receive our Lord Jesus in Holy Communion, that we desire that he take fully control of every part of our life. Because why? What happens? On our own, we mess it up again and again. It's so difficult to get it right on our own, if not impossible. And so we have to surrender, and that's not easy to do, to allow the Lord to be the Lord of our life, to trust that he alone saves. Salvation is found in our Lord Jesus. And he must increase that I may, and I may must decrease, as St. John the Baptist has said. So that's the goal. That when people look at you, and they look at me, they no longer see us, but they see Jesus Christ inside of us. And if you go through, you know, every part of your body and you surrender those things to the Lord, holding nothing back, things change. You see the world differently. People see you differently. Healing happens. Hope is restored. Goodness is seen. It's a conscious effort. We become more aware of the presence of God within us. And when we do that every day, we have that promise from our Lord that he will remain with us forever. Why? Because Christ Jesus lives forever. And we allow him to come into us, inside us, in Holy Eucharist. We give him our hands and our lives, our minds, our hearts, every part of our being. We live forever too. May our Lord take away all that is not of God, all that anger and hurt, all that frustration. May we give that to the Lord. May our Lord heal you, heal us all, heal our church. Jesus gives us himself as the remedy that promises us eternal life.